Hey everybody, Amanda Radke here from Radke Land and Cattle. On behalf of my husband Tyler and myself, we would like to officially invite you to our inaugural President's Day sale scheduled for Monday, February 17th at 1 p.m. right here on the ranch north of Mitchell, South Dakota. We have Angus, Limousine, and Limflex bulls for your appraisal selling at 1 p.m. on DV Auction. Get more info at RadkeLandandCattle.com and we'll see you at the sale. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today, and I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meet dairy and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. Today I have two very special guests. It has been an exciting couple weeks here in South Dakota as the South Dakota 2025 legislative session has kicked off. Before I introduce our guests, I want to talk briefly about our eminent domain reform battle here in the state of South Dakota. I have been inundated with emails from across the country of farmers and ranchers that are in the exact same boat, that are seeing these private companies with their big plans and projects coming into their state, coming into their communities, and they too know the feeling of being a sitting duck and wondering if this land grab in their state is going to be successful. So I've been hearing from folks in New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, Wyoming, and the list goes on. And I can tell you one thing, the general theme of all of these is they are following the exact same playbook, no matter where you are in the country. And I know I'm, you know, razor focused right now on our South Dakota fight because it is right in our backyard. But I would encourage you to continue to use this podcast and the things that I'm posting as a resource, as some tools to put in your toolkit, that there isn't going to be a speaker, an advocate, a lobbyist, an association. There's not a white knight coming to save you. No one will fight harder to save your farm and ranch, to secure your private property rights than you. So this is some tough love here telling you, get active, pick up the phone, connect with your neighbors, start rallying together as landowners, and start showing up to these meetings. Hold your elected officials accountable. Pay attention to what they're, not just what they're saying, but how they're voting and how they're acting. It is time. It's time for all of us to get engaged. I hear over and over again as well, I don't like politics. I just want to be left alone. Well, politics is in our backyard now. And if farmers and ranchers want an opportunity for their kids and grandkids to be on the land, apathy or turning a blind eye or putting your head in the sand, those days are over. So I want to encourage you all, it can be done. You got to get organized. You got to get to work. When good people come together to do the right thing, amazing things can happen. So more updates on our fight from South Dakota coming in future episodes, but I just wanted to encourage you all as we kick off today's show. Now let me get into our special guests. So today I have sitting next to me at my dining room table, my sister Kaylee Knowles, the good representative from Davison County representing District 20. Welcome, Kaylee.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So just a brief overview of how you came to be. You had a special election this summer because one of our representatives stepped down. You won that vote 35-15 against a pick that came straight from the bigwigs in Pierre. So that was pretty exciting. But now you're in Pierre, you're serving as a representative. What are some of your priorities as you have gotten into this session now a couple weeks?
I would say my main focus is eminent domain reform. As you just touched on, it's really kind of the hot topic. We're also looking at property tax reform and really how can we protect the individual rights of the people in this state and make it an affordable place to live so they can do good business and thrive.
Well, wonderful. Well, I'm a proud big sister. It's awesome to watch you at work. And then also on the show today, you've brought a special guest yourself, your seatmate. Will you please introduce her to our listeners today?
Very excited to introduce my seatmate, and I would say new West River friend, Jana Hunt from District 28A. She is a rancher, a horse breeder, a nurse, among some things, but also a fighter for private property rights and our individual freedoms. And I'm glad to call her friend.
Thank you, Amanda and Kaylee, for letting me be on the show with you today and giving me the opportunity to discuss what's been going on in South Dakota that's affecting us across the state and deeply in West River.
I'm so happy that you were able to make it on. And I just have to say, you know, I hear all the time like, oh, young people don't want to work or young people don't understand. You two kind of defy that stereotype, but I'm just really proud to watch you two go into kind of the hornet's nest of the political arena, and you're grounded in your faith. You're grounded in being conservative. You have common sense and you're cattle women. If more of that could be found in the political arena, we'd be in really good shape. So I'm excited that you two are willing to serve, willing to be a voice for all of us out in cattle country. And that's what brings us to the topic of today's show. So one of my most listened to episodes on the Heart of Rural America was one of my first ones out of the gate. And that was talking about fake meat. And it'd be interesting to go back and listen to that to see if it still has aged well. But you two are kind of in the middle of a fake meat discussion in Pierre. So Kaylee, there was a bill already that you spoke on. First, let's talk about that bill and what it would do in relation to fake meat marketing, transparency, and labeling, should this product ever be found on the grocery store shelves.
Absolutely. So House Bill 1022 was a bill that was brought by the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. The title was an act to prohibit the misbranding of cell cultured proteins, which is what commonly referred to as the fake meat, lab grown meat. So essentially what this bill is doing is it will prohibit you from mislabeling it. You can't call it beef. It has to have very clear and prominent labeling that it is a cell cultured protein, because it is a distinct difference and our farmers and ranchers deserve that difference. And really, it's giving clarity to the consumers. So if this product, if and when it ever comes to the shelves in South Dakota, a consumer is not confused whether they're buying beef or a cell cultured protein. So it did pass unanimously out of the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee, and it also passed unanimously off the House floor. So it's now on to the Senate side.
To be clear, should this pass, if it's in the grocery store, I will absolutely be able to tell that it's cell cultured. Will it be allowed to be called beef or sausage, or like, is it just going to say cell cultured, or what is the distinction? How will I know clearly?
From my understanding, it will say it'll be like a cell cultured sausage. It would have to be in the same size, height, weight of a font, but it has to be prominent. You can't have beef really big and then cell cultured quite small. It should be very clear to the consumer is the way the bill reads. Maybe it needs to go a step further, but this is where we're at now.
I would like to comment on that, because the bill that we voted on was cell cultured protein, was specific to protein, and I'm not quite sure if there's cell cultured fat that's related to protein that necessarily needs to be labeled. I was reading an article today that they're specifically putting cell cultured fat in our meat, and I don't know if that would have to be labeled with this bill.
Ew.
That was something that I learned today.
I guess. Interesting. Well, it makes for rich discussions, because yeah, I don't want to accidentally buy this lab grown garbage. I want nothing to do with it. Then Representative Hunt, in the next step in this discussion, you are introducing a bill that would do what?
I'm introducing House Bill 1118, and it is an act to prohibit the award or use of state money for the research, production, promotion, sale, or distribution of cell cultured proteins. So that's pretty much saying our taxpayer dollars will not support the development and economic growth of lab grown meat.
So a few questions. Currently, do we have state dollars being poured into cell cultured protein development?
Not that I'm aware of. What brought this to my attention was our state taxpayer dollars did go to a company called Schwann's or Yellow, which is a private company. We spent $25 million worth of investment into that company, and they do produce impossible meat. So not necessarily lab grown meat, soybean meat, whatever we're going to call it. I'm going to call it impossible meat. I don't necessarily think the majority of investors in South Dakota, taxpayers, they're investing in that company, would want to support a company that is going directly against the number one industry in South Dakota.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
Okay, so to clarify, how much money did Schwann's receive?
At least $25 million, at least.
Wow. Isn't that something? It's interesting when our government gets involved and starts picking winners and losers in agriculture and in business and in the food space. As a cattle rancher, I find that to be quite alarming. I don't think any beef producer is asking for a handout, but they are asking for a fair shake.
Fair market.
So yes, Representative Hunt, what's kind of the feedback you're getting on this? Where does that bill stand?
You know, the South Dakota stock growers, I think, will support this. Ranchers that raise beef are supporting this. I haven't gotten any opposition yet, but I just dropped the bill 2 days ago. So we'll wait to see who doesn't like the idea that taxpayers shouldn't be paying for something that goes against what they believe in.
Right. And before this started airing, I had asked for clarification too. And you had mentioned that this would be kind of all encompassing, but where I would really, and we'll get to the third bill that's coming, which would be just an outright ban on this. But I'm really in favor of banning government funds being used to procure this product for any program that has to follow the federal dietary guidelines for Americans. So that would be our taxpayer dollars being used to fund daycares, schools, hospitals, military, and nursing homes. And so I'm hoping, and maybe that will come out in discussion on this bill, if that would also eliminate the use of those dollars to procure this garbage product. And then you had mentioned about trucks. Can you talk about that, the shipping?
So I wanted to make this bill as tight as possible. I don't want any state money going to the distribution or production of lab-grown meat. So in our schools, if we're distributing it or selling it in our schools, that we're not paying for that. You can't touch federal money, but state monies will not go to that. I'll just read the bill to you.
Okay.
Except otherwise provided for in this section, no state monies may be awarded or used directly or indirectly for research, production, promotion, or the sale or distribution of cell-cultured protein. For the purposes of this section, cell-cultured protein means a product produced for use as human food, made wholly or in part from any cell culture or any DNA of a host animal, and grown or cultivated outside of a live animal. Nothing in this section prohibits the award of monies to or the use of monies by an institution under the control of the Board of Regents. So the first section of this bill really nails it down that no taxpayer monies can go to support the production or distribution of lab-grown meat to the private industry or to the sectors that we already pay out.
I think this is great. And I'm excited to see kind of these building blocks coming together to address what is surely to be some legal questions coming up. I feel like if hindsight was 2020 and the dairy industry could have handled the onslaught of all of the fake milks that were coming into the dairy market, and that the truth in labeling could have been a real thing, we wouldn't see that dairy milk consumption has decreased over time and that plant-based products have increased. It's always interesting to me that you know, these almond milk, oat milk, all these alternative milk products, they don't need to be refrigerated. And yet they put in the refrigerated case, they're labeled as milk, they're side by side with milk, like they're the exact same thing. And we're really comparing apples to oranges. So if it was truly truth in labeling, soy milk wouldn't be called soy milk at all. It'd be called soy juice or you know, flavored soy water. I don't know. It's not milk. And yet over time, the American consumer has been conditioned that these are one in the same thing. And so, you know, fast forward to today, we're having this discussion with these cell cultured proteins that are grown in a petri dish versus the real thing that comes from the hoof. Are you trying to ban these products on the shelves, or is that the next discussion?
That's not what House Bill 1118 is trying to do. I believe there is a bill, 1109, that is trying to specifically ban lab-grown meat in the state of South Dakota.
Okay. There is currently lab-grown meat that you can buy in some states. There has been two businesses approved by the USDA. So consumers can find this on some shelves, maybe in some states or at restaurants where they're serving it. And I think maybe we need to be clear, if we haven't mentioned or described, what lab-grown meat is and how it's created. It is truly a cell taken from an animal that is then put into a petri dish where they add the nutrients, the proteins they're using. And my question would be to these companies is they're using exorbitant amount of water and energy and calling it a green product when we have a beef cow that is truly the greenest animal we have. They're regenerative. They take care of the land. And so that's where, and this is not maybe a cleaner, safer product if we're really diving into the energy and water usage that is coming. Sorry to interject.
No, that's
what, I just wanted to make clear. That's, what is a cell cultured protein?
Well, it sounds disgusting. but that's my opinion. So the FDA, they have given approval. Yes.
The USDA, yes, has approved two companies in the US market.
Okay. And isn't that interesting though?
And it's not just for beef. Like, we're talking chicken and pork as well.
Yeah. And I mean, that gets into the question of if we actually trust the bureaucrats that have biases and lobbyists in their ears at the federal government level, including the FDA, which already doesn't follow the rules that are on the books. Earlier, Kaylee had mentioned that per the law on the labeling, that it would have to be like the largest part of the font on a packaging. And yeah, I was in Target the other day and I saw a bag of chips and it said bacon flavored chips. So one would think that there was bacon in the ingredients. And at the very bottom of the bag, it said vegan, but it was tiny. You could hardly see it. And so this vegan company is breaking the rules that are already on the FDA books by having bacon being in huge font. And then, oh yeah, just kidding. It is vegan. So that's what I'm hoping with this transparency and labeling bill, that it would require the cell cultured part to be ginormous and that we would actually follow through on the rules that we have on the books. But let's talk about this bill. Our good friend, Representative John Sharda, is introducing this bill, 1109. Kaylee has it pulled up here. Kaylee, do you just want to read it here briefly and then let's discuss?
Yeah, Representative Sharda's bill, House Bill 1109, is an act to prohibit the manufacture, sale, or distribution of cell-cultured meat in the state and to provide a penalty therefor. Just going through the bill, it's giving the Department of Health powers to inspect food service establishments and other places for violations that they cannot be serving this. Because I forgot to mention, and this did come up in our House Ag and Natural Resources Committee, that there was concerns if on a menu, if the bill we passed, if it was going to apply to a menu. So a restaurant could serve you pepperonis that were made of a cell-cultured protein versus a pork product. So his bill is really kind of all-encompassing of just straight up banning it from the state of South Dakota to be sold and for consumption.
And do we know which states have banned? We know Florida has banned it, correct? So DeSantis, he says take your fake meat elsewhere, and last year signed a bill banning lab-grown meat. I did read that Governor Pillen in Nebraska signed a new executive order seeking the total ban on sales of fake meat in 2025. I believe Nebraska is working on a bill as we speak to Iowa. Governor Reynolds signed a law last year requiring the labeling of meat and egg alternatives sold in Iowa. And it looks like there's others coming from different states, Michigan. I just kind of Googled this quick. But I guess what's your take? Oh, Alabama has a ban as well. Okay, you had said that. So I'm just rambling now. Let's talk about this ban. What would be the like pros and cons? What kind of feedback are you getting on that?
My perspective is I'm not sure I want to see a straight up ban. I do believe in letting the free market work. I believe beef producers and our other livestock producers do have a superior product that has been working for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this is a new technology, untested. So, I mean, I have some concerns on safety and like I mentioned before, the water and energy uses, if this really is a better, more sustainable product than what our livestock actually is. So I'm not sure I want to see a straight up ban, but I think maybe possibly we need to make the labeling clearer, stronger. Maybe it can't be cows next to a beef product. I think there's some work we could do there because Amanda knows this. We've kind of had our history as beef ambassadors in the state. We've spent a lot of time in our lives talking to consumers, and there is a lot of consumer confusion in the grocery store. When they go to buy a product, the labeling becomes very confusing for the average consumer in the grocery store. So there maybe needs to be more done on clarity for a consumer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did co-sponsor this bill, and I'm coming at this from a health perspective. I would encourage a ban because I am just sick and tired of the FDA approving things that we find down the road are so bad for our health, so bad for our diet. I do not want to let our people who are just working their days accidentally take something that's bad for their health and not know it and implement it into their diet and 20 years later find out that this is why they have cancer. So until we know that this is safe, I don't approve of how often the FDA approves of products that are detrimental to people's health. So I would encourage a ban until this has been more studied and reviewed. I don't think South Dakotans need to be the guinea pigs for the woke companies in the West and the East.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtuff.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
I think that's interesting. Like, I can see both. From a free market capitalist perspective, I'm like, I know I can go in the grocery store today and there is absolute garbage that I would never eat. I would never feed to my kids. But the liberty-minded person in me is like, this is America. Eat what you want. Like Kaylee said, I believe that beef is a superior product. Put it right next to us if you want. We will win every single time. But on the flip side, I really like what you're saying too about like the FDA is notorious for approving things that are not good for the people. And we're rushing to get this on the market because so much, once again, these investors in Silicon Valley are pouring all of this money into something that, quite frankly, they state their intentions, which is to put cattle ranchers out of business and to find a cheaper, grosser, nastier, fundamentally wrong product onto the shelves to make, ultimately, if we're talking about safety and health, this would make for a weaker, sicker, just more problematic society that can, frankly, be easier controlled because they're not getting the true and adequate nutrition they need. The timing of this all is very interesting with RFK kind of coming out and talking about making America healthy again. I love to see that beef tallow is trending and that people are leaning more towards a carnivore diet or a diet that's really rich in animal proteins. At the end of the day, I think they can just kind of like a carbon pipeline company. These investors can pour billions of dollars into this garbage, but the people don't want it. And so that's kind of where I fall in the middle, maybe, is like, I do think the free and fair market would take care of this bad, bad investment anyway. But then you, like you said, you, by bolstering up the laws, not allowing government money to go into it, not allowing it to be on the shelves at all, we're not going to inadvertently force maybe low-income people to have to eat this because this is the cheaper alternative to the real deal. I guess other thoughts, other feedback you're getting as a co-sponsor on this.
Not too many people have reached out to me about 1109. Just the research that I've done, I am worried that we're missing the cultivated fats. When this comes to law, will the cultivated fats be applied to these bills? Will they be labeled? Will we be giving money to them? There's a company out of California right now, Mission Barns. They're using cultivated fats in sausage. It's already on the shelves. Will that fall under these bills? I don't know. I'm hoping that will, but I do need to follow up and figure out, will the fats be applied to cultivated protein?
So it maybe perhaps an amendment that said like cell cultured fats or cell any other cell cultured ingredients, maybe. This is a side note because I know the whole, you know, the let them eat bugs kind of vibe that we're getting, like we're gonna all eat crickets and stuff. And I know in my research there, not that this is cell cultured, but in my research, cricket protein is called like a stupid amount of different names that gets thrown into our chips and our other ingredients. It's like an additive, a flavoring. Could this start a conversation on, I don't want to accidentally eat bugs. I'm not into that. Like, should we be pushing for more clarity on that as well?
I'm a huge proponent for transparency and having clear definitions. And unfortunately, the more you get involved in government, the less clear of definitions they want because it ties and nails things down. And that's what I'm worried about with these bills. Maybe we're not being thorough enough in our definitions.
Thorough enough. And I would add on to maybe the safety concerns is, you know, I just my quick Google search, you know, if you look on the nutrition label of a beef, pork or chicken product, that's what it says in the back. It'll say beef. That's all. Yeah. Quick Google search. If you pull up a cell cultured protein, it's purified bovine serum, salt stabilizers, and sometimes a small amount of preservatives. So it's really interesting to me and to Representative Hunt's point that maybe there is some safety and health concerns we need to look in for there further before these are rolled out to the masses. So I think as we as a state legislator, just making sure we're labeling and putting these safeguards in place to make sure the product that's coming to our people is a safe product.
And having these discussions to even raise the questions, because people are busy and they want to trust that what they're getting on the shelf has been vetted and they want to trust the FDA. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we do question the FDA because is it truly safe?
Yeah, this is really good discussion, I think. And I know before we started recording, you had mentioned like university research. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know that leads into that safety and health discussion too.
So as I said before, I wanted to make sure that our labs in SDSU and wherever else we have labs in the state could still receive money to research this lab-grown meat, because I am truly concerned about the safety in people's diets, and we won't know unless we research, and they can feed the rats and they can do the studies. And I think that taxpayers in South Dakota may want to do research on the effects of lab-grown meat. I wanted that to still be allowed if there is a grant, or if somebody would ever bring that to the table wanting to do research on lab-grown meat, that is still an option, but not for the consumption.
Right. So maybe perhaps instead of the federal government giving gobs and gobs of money to our land-grant universities to talk about climate-smart beef and bison, they could instead focus on things like, hey, is this slime going to cause cancer or not? I'd be pro-research on that. I'd love to see the answers on that. Okay, switching gears a little bit, because I totally jumped ahead on this. Jana, can you tell us, like, obviously you two are grounded in the beef industry. Can you tell us a little bit about your background in the cattle industry and maybe how that's motivated you or how you're using that in your new current position as legislator?
Yeah, so I grew up on a working cattle and calf operation ranch in western South Dakota. I am an enrolled member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, so we have a ranch on the reservation right along the Cheyenne River. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of, you know, river breaks. It's just kind of, you grow up tough. We grew up riding horses, grew up riding four-wheelers, grew up around cattle, livestock. So just, you grow up realizing that nature is bigger than you and you can't control anything. Mm-hmm. And it helps you be grounded in your faith because you just got to trust God to take care of you. So that's how I kind of grew up, graduated high school. Ranching is a great lifestyle, but it can't support multiple people on the same operation. So I went and got a degree in nursing so that I could do nursing on the side and then come home and ranch during the summer. So I do travel nursing and I try to do that in the winter. And then I'm home on the ranch from like May to December. We also have a production horse program. So we have about 40 brood mares, or we have about 30, 35 colts every year. And that's my responsibility. Nobody really likes to do all the paperwork that's involved with horses. So I get to do that one. I enjoy my life. I like my lifestyle. I was not looking to go into politics. I was very content with my ranching and nursing life and my family. All my family's around me. When Summit Carbon Solutions was forcing Jared Bosley to be off of his own property, had the sheriff holding him off. When this fight just started coming to South Dakota, we over here in Western South Dakota were just aghast and horrified and upset and knew that we needed to step up and fight alongside of the eastern part of the state, because when it got over here, we couldn't handle it on our own. So we needed to be there on the front lines helping them fight it. Unfortunately, in the fight that eventually became SB 201, both of our representatives in my district voted in favor of implementing that law. And the people in my district were not happy about that. Mm-hmm. And we got to talking and we were trying to find somebody to run. But out here in Western South Dakota, it's really hard to get somebody to commit to not being home during the winter during calving season.
Yeah.
Since I do the traveling nurse thing.
Yeah.
I was able to step up to the plate, and that's kind of what got me down to Pierre, was because I love the lifestyle. I love South Dakota. I do not want my personal rights infringed upon, nor my family's rights infringed upon.
Well, God bless you. And I know obviously you've given up a significant income driver for yourself and the ranch too, by taking this season off of nursing and going to be a legislator. So that's, it comes with a cost to serve the people. Absolutely. Are you headed to the Black Hills Stock Show?
Probably next weekend. Some friends and I are going to go listen to Ian Munsick. I'm not very good with pronouncing names, but yeah, we've kind of got something set up to go out to Rapid next weekend.
Well, hopefully you can blow off some steam before you have to head back to Pierre and deal with all the craziness there. Kaylee, do you want to talk a little bit about what prompted you to run and kind of put yourself in this position, take a season off of your business and what you do?
Similar to Jana, I mean, it was that 201, that issue that got me involved. You and I were going to Pierre to committees and listening to testimony and talking with our legislators from our district, which is how I met Ben Cromer, who he later had to drop out due to family issues. And I found out and called him up 5 days before the deadline and decided, why not put my hat in the ring? This is something I'm passionate about. And I thought, well, if not me, then who?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like you said at the beginning, I had that central party election. I was shocked I won. And then I was lucky enough, we didn't even have a general in District 20. So I found myself in the legislature without really too much thought into it. I'm extremely happy to be there now. Like I said, I sit by Representative Hunt, and you know, our values kind of align a little bit. So it makes it fun, and we can discuss different topics and go back and forth there. But this is such a unique job and position to be in. But really, my main motivator and driver is protecting the property rights of people. And that's not just land. You know, that's your person, the clothes on your back, your home, your backyard. And I see a lot of discussion on economic development and that matters more than our private property rights. And I just have to say our private property rights are not for sale, not for any company that wants to come into the state or any person who thinks they can make more money off the land than you can. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at everything through the lens when I'm voting. Does this protect people? Does this hurt people? And really, I like Jana, I love South Dakota, and I just want to make sure it remains a place that I would like to raise my future family in someday. It's been mentioned before that Representative Hunt and I are both in our 20s and young, but God willing, we have a lot of life left to live. And so we get to be a part of the conversation of the shaping of this state.
Wonderful. Well, we are bumping up to time, ladies. So I just want to thank you both for taking the time to be on the show today, for talking about this issue of cell cultured proteins and how we can kind of beat back what we see as just a really terrible product that's coming to the marketplace soon and how we can provide protections there. I appreciate you standing alongside landowners because really without private property rights, we are not free. And those rights are absolute. They are non-negotiable. And so thank you for standing in the gap. Would also like to encourage you all that are listening. These girls just behind the scene, I got to tell you, they were in a committee this week and a bureaucrat in a suit came in and insulted them for their age. And if you can't listen to this show and hear that there's absolute principled leadership, wisdom beyond their years, and a commitment to standing up for the American ideals that make this country great, well, then you're missing the forest for the trees and you might need to reevaluate where you stand and what you're doing in your life. So I am extremely proud of this young, youthful energy that's grounded in common sense and patriotism. So thank you guys so much. If you would like to support these two representatives and other champions like them who are fighting hard to preserve and protect your rights, be sure to be in communication. They can be reached if you go to SD legislature. Yes, .gov, SDLegislature.gov. Their contact information is there. They need your support. They need to hear from you. They need to know that you're with them and that you appreciate the work that they're doing. I just want to thank you both. God bless you. Keep up the good fight, and we'll see you in Pierre.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Amanda Radke. This is the heart of Rural America, and we will see you down the dusty trail. Take care.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.